Translation. While leaving, the king was so insulted, picked up a lifeless snake with his bow and angrily placed it on the shoulder of the sage. Then he returned to his palace. Purport. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation and purport. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The king thus treated the sage tit for tat, although he was never accustomed to such silly actions. By the will of the Lord, the king, while going away, found a dead snake in front of him. And he thought that the sage, who had coldly received him, thus might be coldly rewarded by being offered a garland of a dead snake. In the ordinary course of dealing, this was not very unnatural. But in the case of Maharaj Parikshit's dealing with a Brahmana sage, this was certainly unprecedented. It so happened by the will of the Lord. Om Jnanatimrandasya Jnananjana Salakeya Chakshuro Milatam Yena Tasmei Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kaupa Trubhyas Cha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevata Padidanam Bhavanibhu Sama Namo Om Jnanatimrandasya. So, it's an amazing little verse, this, with purport. And it is externally, his Prabhupada, he compares it, that here he says, he coldly rewarded him. He said, before that, he says, the king was treated for tit for tat, although he was never accustomed to such silly actions. In other words, the king was a great sage, a Maharishi. It's unheard of that he should be so trivial. Right, Jesus said in the Bible, didn't he? If somebody hits you on the face, turn the other cheek. You know, there's an elevated point of view. But here, we have a sub-elevated point of view. It's one that refers to what we would understand as the nature of this world now, under the age of Kali. You did something to me, so I'll do something to you. Tit for tat. And King Parikshit was not such a person. He was, as it says here, by the will of the Lord, while going away, he found a dead snake, and he thought the sage had coldly received him. And so he didn't know that, but somehow or other he was placed into an illusion of his feelings and his bodily concept of life. It's not his, but a bodily concept of life that was given him. And thus, he coldly rewarded and offered a garland and said, he reciprocated coldly. You know, and this is the way of sometimes in the morning we walk somewhere and we say good morning to somebody and they don't answer. So we could say that sort of, it may be coldly, or it may be that they're shy. They see me in a Hare Krishna thing. They don't quite understand, maybe, what's happening. So they don't know what to say, you know. They might reply, but they don't always reply. And it seems cold reply, but, you know, don't worry about it. Our nature should be to move on. What happens, what's the most important thing is actually that we greet a person, you know, their fellow spirit soul, whoever they are. And, if it's not reciprocated, what can you do, you know? And so that's the way of it. But this way, here, he reciprocated coldly. And thus, it might be so coldly offered a garland of a dead snake. And a dead snake, this is really such an image, isn't it? You know, would you like a dead snake round your neck? What's your first reaction, anybody? Somebody puts that round your neck. Yeah? Somebody say, tell me. Yeah, you're repulsed by it. It's disgraceful, you know, and you think, ah! You know, it's very insulting, actually. So he was reciprocating with what he thought was a cold greeting from a sage who was deep in meditation. And so he had presumed something under the influence, by the will of the Lord, in the age of Kali, his thoughts, his ego. He acquired a false ego. Don't you know who I am? You know, the greeting is normally given, even if it's just a cup of water and acknowledgement. If somebody comes to the house, if you're very poor, even, and so, but still the greeting is there. But here, he didn't reply. The sage said nothing. So, by his by the will of the Lord, he had his own assumption, his own little particular false ego for this moment that was given to him by the will of the Lord. And then it says, in the ordinary course of dealings, this was not very natural. But in the case of Maharaj Parikshit dealing with a Brahmana sage, this certainly is unprecedented. And we found that through all this chapter, the greatness of Parikshit, the positive nature, how he was going to deal with Kali and how he did deal with Kali. He was positive in all that he did because he knew what he had to do. He knew his service. He knew by the examples of his predecessors that he'd been brought up with that this is not the thing. And culturally, he had everything, but somehow, by the will of the Lord, that this was unnatural for King Parikshit's dealing with a sage. This was certainly unprecedented, and it so happened by the will of the Lord. And it's interesting to see how things can pan out in our lives. We have Trinadapi Sunichana Taro Iva Sajnula Amanina Manadena Kirtana Sharade. It says that we adopt a humble attitude, thinking ourselves lower than the straw in the tree. And we should be tolerant, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to give all respect to others, and not expect anything for ourselves. It's almost an opposite, isn't it? It's one of those things that, you know, these great kings, they will give all respect to others, whether it be a sudra nature, the vaishya nature, kshatriya, or whoever, that actually they would treat them with respect, and this is part of the culture. But here, somehow we lost that culture, just like Arjuna. He lost his culture on the battlefield. He was a kshatriya, and then through being put into some sort of illusion for the sake of others, he was on a battlefield, and he saw the people in front of him, and he thought, oh, who are, you know, what's happening? And so his attachments for those on the field revealed themselves by the will of the Lord. He was a great fighter. He was ready. He said, draw up the chariot. I want to see who we're going to contest with the evil Duryodhana. He even had that understanding. But then, by the will of the Lord, he, and this was mentioned in one of the purports in that part of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna anticipated the feelings of the Lord, Arjuna, when the chariot was brought up there. He anticipated, in other words, somehow or other, this feeling of Arjuna that Krishna, he knew, that person he knew so well, would somehow become affected. And Prabhupada explains that actually he shouldn't have been affected, but in this case, a devotee is also soft-hearted. Generally, he could have a misplaced sentiment, so we have to be careful of misplaced sentiments. And we could say, oh, it's the will of the Lord. You know, you give to somebody that, you know, maybe you give a gift or something like that, but you want something out of it. That we misunderstand a situation, but somehow to make ourselves feel better, rather than the gift being appropriate or whatever, we're not thinking about what we're doing. We've got some self-consciousness, some misunderstanding of what we should do and behave. I'm a particular example of this, actually. And so I'm preaching to myself. I have to be very careful that I have to deal appropriately with people, not revert to a sort of passionate nature that's there, and be practical and in my approach. But I'd like to, there's in the Bhagavad Gita, and it's in chapter 14, it's a wonderful analysis of the modes of material nature. If I can just find it, 14. I think it's 22 to 25. And it's a description of how that to become aloof from this world, the modes of material nature, and our bodily nature, you know, the physical nature, and to somehow treat it as an observer. So it says here, 14. You know, personally, I thought this was is like a hidden treasure. This 14, I think 22 to 25. Yes. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, this is chapter 14, texts 22 to 25. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, he who neither hates or desires the development of the three qualities, nor desires the three qualities of illumination, attachment, and delusion, who is transcendentally situated. So that's interesting. So you don't hate or desire the development of the three qualities of illumination, attachment, or delusion. You're aloof from them, of the results, remaining neutral. Although all the reactions of the modes, thinking that they may work, but that he is transcendental. So he sees the modes, but he's watching them. He looks equally upon happiness and distress as a pebble, a stone, a piece of gold. Shri Shri Radha Gokul Nanda ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmana Hanumana ki jai, who is equal towards the undesirable and the desirable, who is steady and well situated in defamation or in adoration. He receives honor and dishonor equally. He treats a friend and enemy alike, and so he's engaged and who is not engaged in material activities. He is said to have transcended the modes of material nature. So he's an observer. He's watching these things and the reactions within. And he doesn't necessarily act upon them. And that's the benefit in chapter 18, text 7. This age of Kali is such a special age. It gives us a dispensation that what's happening up there, if it's not acted upon, that it's not a sin. Whereas in previous ages, it would be considered a sin even just to think of something sinful. But we've been given a dispensation. And that's a special verse. And so that's something so we don't, though we may have these thoughts, don't beat yourself. This is saying don't beat yourself. Just observe it. You have to become the observer somehow of these thoughts that are within us. We don't act upon them. And this is what has happened to Parikshit. Somehow, by the will of the Lord, he's lost his power of discrimination. And he's been given something contrary, but that will bring about the greatest good. Because Sringi's going to hear of what happened to his dad. And that is, you could say, another attachment. He immediately, by his inexperience, thought he should sort it out. He didn't go to his dad. Dad, are you okay? Or anything like that. You know, what's happened to you? No, he took it in his own hands. I know what I'm doing. I've been taught. I'm a Brahmana. And Prabhupada explains in the purport there that this is the first change in this age of Kali of the Brahmana's approach, that I can do it, that I'm in control, and that somehow or other, don't you know, I am now a Brahmana. But of course, we have to, Prabhupada also explains that we have to take on the qualities of Brahmana. And so, this is an interesting state. So, detachment by the will of the Lord will come, but also it'll be taken away from you. Why? You have to learn something. Every day is a lesson. We're being taught every day, but we won't necessarily take it as a lesson, whether it be encouragement. That's a lesson. We like it, don't we? We like encouragement. But then there's the other one where we get corrected. But what we do if we're not careful, we react immediately with an answer. But no. The person who's in the mode of goodness, they say, oh, I think about what you had to say. I'll consider this point. I hadn't thought of that. So thank you. So it's a correction, and it's received in its true nature. Because correction means, like a spiritual master, it's mercy. And he's showing you the way, he's showing you the path. And if we don't take it on board, that this is coming from Krishna, because he's Krishna's servant, he's Shakshat Hari, actually. He's the person who represents Krishna in this world. He's the person that is motivated by his service to the Supreme Lord and his service to you. So parents, they got two sorts of love. There is one of love, affection, that sort of thing. And there's another one, which is correction. Stop it. Don't do it. You might even tap their hand. The child doesn't like it. They're stopped. And our mind is like a child's mind. Gaur Govinda Swami, he said a wonderful thing in his class here for the remembrance. He said, the mind is wicked. Beat it in the morning 100 times, Prabhupada says. Beat it in the evening 100 times. With a slipper in the morning, I think it is, and a stick at night, or a stick in the morning, I can't remember which one it was. But 100 times. And that's amazing. He says, but what is this stick? What is this slipper we beat the mind with? And it came up at that class, the stick is the Maha Mantra. The slipper is the Maha Mantra. It takes two forms, because it can do anything. It's Krishna himself. So it's beating the mind. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The mind is like a child. To spare the rod, spoil the child. If you don't correct, that child is going to be spoiled and get its own way all the time. Oh, what's that for? But some people, if we're not careful, especially as parents, our affection for the child overrules our two types of love, and they don't correct. So that child will go through life either being spoon-fed whole time, and when it gets out into the world, no more spoon to be fed. People will act And he'll act or she'll act in such a way that she'll treat people with disrespect, or he'll treat people with disrespect, because they've not been taught any other way. And my mother used to say to me, I was bullied. And the bully used to wait for me after school. He used to intimidate me, he was older and we were young, but I was tall. So he thought he was big as well. But I was just a little kid, I didn't know what was happening. But anyway, I told this to mother, and she said, you should feel sorry for him. He doesn't know any better. Now, what that means, he's been taught the way of a beating, mistreatment, anger. Now, if we teach by anger, how the child's going to learn? No. The child is also taught that sometimes they say, but they see our hypocrisy. They say, you tell them you shouldn't be doing that. And he said, but you do it. And you say, yeah, you're probably right. So then you say sorry. Now, for a parent to say sorry to the child is really difficult, but we must do it. How will they learn to say sorry too? So by example, the parent must reflect in that way. It must give understanding of that actually we mustn't be duplicitous with a child. Otherwise, they'll be duplicitous because they'll want attention all the time. So correction is the best. Whatever way it comes, by the will of the Lord. All this thing says, by the will of the Lord. And you keep saying in these little verses here, by the will of the Lord. So it sounds pretty heavy to many people, but it's not true. He's helping us at all times. And, I know householders in this crazy time of COVID, that they're seeing all sorts of things. And their toleration is tested. And as a family in Krishna consciousness, the one thing to retain our consciousness is that whatever he says, isn't it, yat karoshi, yadasni, yat dohosi, dadasi, yat tapasyasi, kuntiya, tat karusham, madaparnam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, whatever you do, whatever difficulty you go through, austerity, do it for me as an act of service. So you transform the actions or reactions of this life into how we behave in such a way that we treat it as a service, that I shall be given or not given. That is the will of the Lord. So I treat it as another message. So the difficulties come as another message, that somehow we got to be more tolerant than a tree. But that's a service. That's a service to the Supreme in your difficult circumstances, because what he wants is your heart. And if you treat everything you do as a service, it elevates the action and reaction in such a way that it's a transcendental. Our consciousness changes. This is happening by Krishna's arrangement. Let me do it with my full attention, no matter what it is. Let all other considerations be forgot. And my only purpose is Krishna's alone pleasure. So whatever you're doing, Krishna, he sends all these things. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. Everything comes from me. Don't treat it as separate from Krishna. It's not. Everything that happens in this world is sent by Krishna, like it or not. That's the dualities. So I'll stop there, because it's just coming up to 8:30. Is there any comments, questions on this particular verse? By the will of the Lord, if there's a question. Please. Oh, sorry, we haven't got the mic. I couldn't hear you, that's for certain. What to speak of on the viewing.
Thank you so much for another wonderful, sweet class. I really liked how you said that in the end we have to get Krishna wants our heart, which is so important. Okay, I have two questions. One is, how do we retain a humble attitude? Because it's really difficult. And second is, you know, you said that a really elevated soul looks at everything equally, whether it's happiness or distress. But like, our mind is like a child. Whenever something goes wrong, you're distressed. When something is joyful, you're happy. And then again and again, the duality continues. Even though you're practicing Krishna consciousness, you're not equipoised, or you're not treating happiness and distress equally. You see them as independent events. So how do we see that? We can hear about it in philosophy. But we can't actually, we don't see it happen in my life, especially.
Yeah. Intellectual realization is quite different from activity. Intellectually, we can do a Bhakti Shastri and be the top student. All the marks are there. But the feelings that, or it should imbibe, is that we have to practice it. And to practice it, we have to be more tolerant. We have to see that this is Krishna, not that person, not that, this and that. Well, where's that coming? Like and dislike, dualities, modes of material nature. Because we're whole body and the mind and the intelligence. The body, the gross, the mind and intelligence, the subtle body, are controlled by the modes of material nature. Therefore, I like it, I don't like it. I like this bit of Krishna, but I don't like that bit of Krishna. But it's Krishna. We're supposed to love him in all circumstances. Yes, this is a test, Krishna. Ask yourself, what are you trying to tell me? What must I know by what's happened? And the observer, person, they contemplate. They see that I'm going to react and I'm really angry. But they see the anger in themselves. They see that this person's like that. No, it's not. That's your misconception. We see through different colored glasses, which are the modes of material nature, what a person is. One person may like this person, like and dislike. Somehow or other, we have to detach ourselves from this duality and understand that Krishna's energies are acting. The modes of material nature come from Krishna. He's not controlled by them, but he can take the modes of material nature away if you so desire. But you have to cry. You have to cry. You have to cry to him to say, look, I'm not understanding this. I'm being, somehow corrected, and I don't think it's right. We Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I've become happy knowing that I no longer belong to myself. I belong to you, Lord. That's when I become happy. And so you have to understand, it's shown his love. He's shown how much you belong to him by attending to you in such a way that the devotee is in the Bhagavatam. He sees that all the difficulties encounter are part of Krishna's mercy. And the difficulties is to do with self-realization. Watch what's happening in you. Watch what you've been born with. Observe it. Get on with it. Don't moan, don't groan. You can sometimes moan and groan, but it has to be somebody who will not just say, oh, there, it's okay. Yeah, you're right. No, they're not your friend. They're your enemy. You know, so we need encouragement, but you just need knowledge to understand what's happening. And somebody who has to tell you exactly what is happening without you feeling affronted. Because that's the modes of material nature. That's what's happened to King Parikshit. He was affronted by the so-called silence of the sage. But he was put into illusion by the will of the Lord. And so are we put into illusion. So we got to understand that we're in illusion too. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. He's not perfect. But the Lord is perfect in all his arrangements. And if you can understand that, that it's all positive. There's nothing negative at all about it. It's just, you just got to understand, this is meant for me. That somehow I got to think about what's happened. And to ask somebody who will give you a bit of detachment. Don't worry about it. It's like your grandfather. Don't worry about it. He's seen life. Why are you so concerned? It's trivial. And most of our things are trivial. The mind is making up so many things. It's awful. That's why he says, beat the mind with the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's it. I think we better finish. We've got a congregation about to move in on us. Okay, thank you for your kind attention. King Parikshit ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Guru Maharaj ki jai.